Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, Erica didn't see a ghost standing in the room. Instead, an image appeared in her mind, brief, clear, and unexpected.
Oh, I thought there was another line.
We're all like waiting.
Oh, I can do another line. I just thought. Another line.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is the most exciting intro you're ever going to get.
Take two.
Don't mess it up.
Okay. Erica didn't see a ghost standing in the room. Instead, an image appeared in her mind, brief, clear, and unexpected, when she later learned who had once lived there. The experience took an entirely different meaning.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi and welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. We're happy you're here with us today.
Why does it suddenly
ups and downs,
feel like
you know?
Feels like a Saturday Night Live skit all of a sudden. People,
I think really if you saw that intro, you're like, oh, what's happening? And then it's like, yep, hi. Hey, welcome to the program. Share your ghost stories, 855-853-4802 or realghoststoriesonline.com on the internet. So that's where you can join us there. So hi, everyone.
I've had this question for a number of years, Tony.
Yeah, what?
Is that your voice on the intro? Just slowed down?
No. No,
it's not. Really? It's not.
No. I don't, honest to God, remember the person's name, but it was a voiceover person I paid a long time ago when we started doing the show.
Oh, my God. I would have sworn all these years listening to that intro that was you just with the, you know, the devil... wrong button. The
devil sound effect.
No, I mean, there's me that I sound different. I mean, I suppose I could, if I could probably try to, I've never tried to emulate it, honestly.
God, it sounds like you,
but no, that's actually, And now, if we ever need more, I'm just going to have to AI it.
That's right.
But, you know, that's a real authentic voice.
Wow, I didn't know that.
From many a decade ago. You know, kind of crazy, you know, that's, you know. But.
Because you are a man of many voices.
Oh, yeah. I try to keep it, you know, I mean, with AI now, you don't need to hire voices anymore. You know, it is what it is. I mean, and as someone who worked in the voiceover industry forever, and made, you know, some money at it, but it's an art that, unfortunately, has been replaced by technology. There's this, that's why I think personality type based things are, you know, more important than ever, because there's going to be more of that, because that's so easy to produce. More of this is what you can somewhat simulate it, you know, but I think there'll be a reason people still, you know, want to interact and see other humans.
Right.
I hope, maybe.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
We'll find out, you know, in a year or so. Let's go to our first ghost story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Erica. I've had a lot of experiences starting from when I was a child and have only just recently started to tell people about them because it's hard to see that look on people's faces if they're not also believers in ghosts, that you must be a crazy person. I've had a lot of experiences, but I'll just start with a short one for today. I was living in Portland, Oregon a few years ago. My then husband and I moved into an apartment that was actually in an old house that was in the northwest part of the city. I wasn't sure at the time when the house was built, but it was clear that it was about 100 years old. For the most part, our apartment felt pretty okay. The basement of the house was terrifying. That's where the laundry was, and I would a lot of times make my husband go downstairs with me when I did laundry because I was too afraid to be there by myself. But nothing really happened in our apartment until one day when it was actually a night, an evening. I was sitting on the floor for whatever reason, watching. Sorry about the street noise. I'm walking because I don't want to be in my house.
Todd, this is where you should have got just a bus and the phone and the dime.
Anyway, I was sitting on the floor watching a TV show on my computer for whatever reason. I had my headphones on, so I was kind of like totally zoned in. My husband was on the couch and to my left. All of a sudden, I felt footsteps walking on the old hardwood floor behind me. And it was so real that I actually thought that my husband had gotten up from the couch and was walking behind me to go into the kitchen. Kind of simultaneously, when I realized that he was still on the couch, I noticed that my cat was sitting right next to me to my left, but facing the opposite direction, and he was looking up into the air very concentratedly at something. And so obviously at this point I'm thinking, what is happening right now? So look up and behind me, and there's nothing there. The cat continues to stare into thin air about 6 feet above me, and all of a sudden, I get this image in my head of a man, a tall man, standing in a trench coat, kind of like a 1940s, like Dick Tracy look, like one of those tan trench coats that belts at the waist, and, you know, an old-fashioned hat. He's just standing there, and it's just this, like, flaccid image. It's like I see it in my mind's eye, not with my eyes. I actually wasn't scared other than the fact that it was unexpected and kind of like, what the hell? I didn't get any feeling of like menace or aggression from him. And then it was gone. And I told my husband about it, and he believes in ghosts because he had experiences as well. But, you know, we didn't really know what to think. But I made a mental note that next time I saw the landlord, I was going to ask him some information about the history of the house. Lo and behold, a few weeks later, we start having an electrical problem in our apartment, and the landlord comes up, and I said, hey, Yuri, you know, just out of curiosity, do you know anything about the history of this house? And he said, well, yeah, actually, I do. It was built in 1903 as a private home. Throughout the years, especially starting in the Depression, it was divided up into smaller and smaller pieces. During the 1940s, it was a duplex, and in one half of the house, there was a World War II officer and his wife and child. And as soon as he said that, I knew that the man that I had seen was the World War II officer. The timing sounded right, and it's something clicked in my gut. And it was just really interesting because I'd had experiences before, but I'd never been able to research or find out any information about the people that I might have been seeing. I had a couple of other experiences in that same apartment, one of which I was getting poked in the forehead for a few minutes while I was trying to watch TV a different time, to the point where I actually made my husband pause whatever we were watching and told him what's happening. Then it stopped. We started again. The poking started again. And finally, I paused it and I said, all right, this is really annoying. I get that you're here. Please stop touching me. And it stopped, and it never happened again. Anyway, that's one apartment that I've had some strange experiences in. I hope to hear my story on your show. Have a great day. Bye.
See, you just have to be nice, and that's all it's going to do. As long as you avoid getting hit by a bus in the middle of the phone call. Like, that would have been, like, really fucking hilarious. I mean, hilariously horrible. But, like, I guess good for a horror podcast if all of a sudden just the phone's on the ground and you hear screams, like, oh my God. I was waiting for that. Thank God that's not what happened.
Scared the crap out of me. Just like that investigation I was telling you about where the ice machine dropped a load of ice and I nearly crapped my pants. That's pretty much what just happened there too.
Yeah. It's like, God. Well, there you go.
You know, one thing though, I will say about cats, I don't find that to be compelling when she says her cat was staring at something. Mm-hmm. Because my cats do that all the time.
That's just something.
It could just be a little bitty bug. Yeah. It could be a piece of dust that they somehow have noticed. Because mm-hmm. I'll find them looking at the ceiling every now and again. I'm like, what is it that you're looking at? And then there's just a little fly that has somehow gotten in my house and that mm-hmm. they can see it. So I don't know about that, but I do find it kind of interesting that, you know, the landlord kind of confirmed a vision that she had. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the cats and staring at you.
Yeah, cats are kind of weird.
Yeah.
They do that all the time at my house.
Belle had been doing that for a little bit. Belle's a dog, but in the bedroom recently, I'm like, "What are you?" And there's June bugs that are, or not June, they're stink bugs that are getting in around this time of year.
Yeah,
and like you think you get rid of one? Yeah, they like because we have our porch. They're kind of hang out there a lot, and they're like a exoskeleton bug. They're really hard. I know they call them stink bugs. I've never smelled them. They're just kind of big. And they can fly around and shit. And there's just like usually one somewhere and it'll be usually way up on the ceiling. You wouldn't even really catch it. But I've been getting them and I've just been kind of like tossing them out the door because I think that they smell like if you do
right.
squish them. Yep. So I'm not trying to kill it. I'm just trying to like, you know, I toss it and whatever. It's probably getting in through like maybe the air slat or something on the bottom of the door. But it's always back in the house. But the damn thing, I swear to God, I keep finding it just hanging out on my pillow. Like of all spots in this entire, it's a big bedroom. And then there's a large bathroom. I mean, it's like the size of my first apartment. It's a big space. And the fucking stink bug. I could crush it. I could flush it. But I don't. I'm like, no, it's okay.
How big is it? Like, is it the size of your pink? Like, how big is it?
It's like the size of a dime. Like a dime.
It's not that big.
No.
Yeah.
And he's just like, picks there. My fucking pillow.
It's nice and warm. They like warm spots. Because what'll happen
There's all sorts of, like, my pillow. Like, there's other pillows, too. It's a bed. I don't know. It's weird.
I think they just like your pillow. I'm just going to say it.
I don't know. I'm going to start leaving notes and seeing if they listen. You know, it's a... I don't know.
Flush them next time. Quit being so nice.
I have to send a message. I really do. I'm going to flush it and then I'm going to film flushing it and then I'm going to stream that onto my TV in the bedroom. It's on loop. So all the other stink bugs, when they get in there, they're going to see this and they'll be like, oh shit.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll really work, Tony.
It'll be like a drive-in. It'd be like a drive-in for the stink bugs. It'd be like, oh, what's our feature presentation? Oh my God, that's Harriet. You know, and.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to work. And I would like you to, like, maybe you could document this whole process for us. submit the video. We'd like to see it.
And make sure Harper has access to it.
Another bug shot.
Yeah, make sure Harper has access to it because at some point she's going to want to use it to put you away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't show it to your fiance.
Just give it to us and let us know where you're going to be on Tuesday at 9:25 a.m. and make sure that you're wearing comfortable shoes.
And again, at the wedding, Carol and I will play it for the entire during the dinner or something like that.
Yeah, we said we edited that part out, but we kind
of
didn't.
Here's what Tony's been up to lately. We think there might be a problem.
You might want to think about it.
There might be a problem, Tony. You need to leave the house more. Yeah, well... Yeah, that's true. Let's go to a phone call at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, this is Jessica Harrison calling from Phoenix, Arizona. But I'm going to tell you about a specific time that is one of my personal favorite ghost stories that happened to me. My grandma was my favorite person in the world when I was younger. I was probably like 7 or 8. My mom was in the military and my dad was a driver. And so I was left with my grandparents a lot. And so me and my grandma, we really bonded a lot, and even more so than probably my mom and her mom did. Just because grandparents, you know, they learn from their mistakes with their other kids, I suppose. But she was the mayor of our town. And like, I even helped her like run for mayor and go door to door knocking on doors to get votes. And she was just this marvelous woman in our town. And so I really looked up to her. She guided me spiritually, and we just had a great bond. She had cancer for many years. Like, they told her that she would live for like a year, and she ended up living for another like 4 or 5 years by switching to like a vegan alkaline diet. And so I didn't know that she had cancer still and that she was sick. And so towards the end of her life, my mom came home from the military on leave, and she was with my grandma, and I didn't know that at the time. And they sent us away to our, to my other grandma's house, which is my dad's mom's house, for the summer, which wasn't weird at all because we went there every other summer. But this one particular time, I just did not want to go. I was just screaming and crying. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to do it. It was so difficult. They basically like shoved me into the car to go. And every day, like, I wanted to call her and no one would let me. And, you know, back then we'd have cell phones or text or anything. You literally had to get on the phone and call. And, I did try to sneak and call her a few times, but she was never around to answer the phone. And we're from the South, so if you're not in the house, you're outside. So I just figured maybe she wasn't in the house. So one day I was outside playing, and my grandma told me to come inside. I remember this day because I had like this weird eerie feeling, which for some reason I always get this feeling. I even got the same feeling the day that my dad died. But it's just kind of like a, I don't know, you can't quite put your finger on it, but it seems surreal. And so my grandma called me into the house, and I got on the phone, and she said, "Grandma Rabbit's on the phone," which is my grandma who was sick. I called her that after a kid's storybook about an amazing grandma that was a rabbit who was cool. And so I was like, "Grandma Rabbit, you know, what? I miss you. What are you doing?" Like, basically, I wanted to know everything, because I really thought we were best friends, or we were probably to me in my 8-year-old mind. And so she was very calm, and it sounded like she was loud and busy in a bus station. And the weird thing that I've always done since I was a kid is when I'm on the phone with people physically, I just kind of see an image of where they are. Like, I don't know if it's made up or what it is, but I like can always see it in my head. And so in this instance, I really saw a train station, which now that I'm older and I look back on it, it's weird because I had never been to a train station in my life. I just saw a train station, and I heard like a lot of bustling and kind of like train sounds. And she was just really calm, but she was also kind of in a hurry. And she just, I kept asking her, "When am I going to see you again? I miss you," you know. And she, now that I look back on it, she never told me that she was going to see me again. But she did tell me, you know, "I really miss you and I love you. Do you know Grandma loves you a lot?" She just pretty much told me that. I was like, "When am I going to get to go home and see you?" And she told me I get to go home soon. But she didn't tell me that I would see her. But I didn't catch on to that actually until this conversation. And she got the phone, and I just thought it was so weird. And I went back outside to play. Maybe like an hour, 2-3 hours later, I saw my grandma in the house, and she was just kind of walking backwards across the glass. And then eventually she called us in and she sat us all down on the couch and we thought we were in trouble. Like maybe we had like, you know, we were kids terrorizing in the South in the summertime. Maybe we broke something we weren't supposed to, but it was just really serious. She turned off the TV and she told us that my grandma had died. The weird thing about my grandma dying, which is, this is what I forgot in the previous story. She had died about 2 weeks prior to that, actually, like a week and a half. And the funeral was ready and everything. So she was like, yeah, we're going to have to leave tomorrow to go to the funeral. I asked her about it, like, but she just called and my grandma would not admit it. Like, I just freaked out as a kid because to me, it made me feel like a little insane and crazy, like it didn't happen. But I knew that it did. Even at the funeral, like everyone expected me to be screaming and crying, but I just sat in a rocking chair on the front porch and I didn't cry because I didn't think that she was dead. And there was nothing anyone could say to convince me that she had passed away. Because I was like, I just spoke to her. To this day, she's never appeared to me or, you know, physically or nothing like that. But I do have a lot of other ghost stories, but specifically her, I've never heard from her again or seen her again, but it's just the weirdest thing. And to this day, my grandma, she's older and I asked her once, well, you really don't talk about things like that, but I asked her once when I got older and she would not admit it. She just pretended like she didn't know what I was talking about. But thank you so much for making great content for us to listen to. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you for sharing all that.
I want to see if I got this straight. So she stayed with the one grandma, her other grandma's very sick. And I understand that because she was probably really sick. So they needed the kids to go stay someplace. Mm-hmm. But it's the phone call that she didn't, there's no way possible that the grandma could have called.
I believe so. I think the other grandma had already passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it made it just, it made, you know, what she had thought it was an impossibility.
But then the grandma would have had to call her in and say, hey, you've got a phone call. And that grandma's never owned up to that either.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that older generation, they never own up to anything. Like if they see something or experience something, if they don't want to deal with it or they don't want to have to think about what does that mean, it just never happened.
In paranormal things, it's like, we don't know anything.
Absolutely.
About that.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's not true. What that is. Right. Yeah.
It's like, no, that never happened. You did not get a call from your grandmother, but she remembers it so distinctly that she remembers the conversation.
Right.
Like, why do you think that is, that they're like that? Is because they've just seen, well, I mean, and I, honest to God, I feel like that generation's dying out completely. I feel like a lot of them aren't around anymore. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's not a lot of them anymore that are like that. I'm sure there's plenty, but you know, as a whole, is it because they saw so much shit that just anything else, it's like, I'm good. But I kind of feel like that now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get it where it's like somebody comes to you with something and you like already have dealt with so much shit. You're just like, yeah, okay. It's just like, whatever, like go deal with it. Like my stack, my canister of shit is already full with the depression and these wars and everything. And you're all still fucking alive.
Right.
So you're feeling what? Okay. That you can fucking handle that on your own, buddy.
Right.
I think that's probably the mindset.
And I think they went through so much shit.
Yeah.
You couldn't deal with it all.
Yeah. And there wasn't any real, you know, ways of that were healthy to do so at the time either. Here it's like, here, drink.
You know? Right. But, well, hello. Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Here, drink and smoke as we tell you it's healthy and it's good, you know, and it makes you wonder a little bit about the time too. Was there more motivation with the marketing of it more than just money making? Was it, was there something too in this like a psychological effect of if we can, like these guys are, you know, I'm sure there was PTSD and shit. Was there some sort of thought process at that moment of let them self-medicate because it's better that they're drunk down at the corner than, you know, destroying the house. I mean, granted, they ended up just going back and destroying the house anyhow, but maybe more of them passed out first, you know,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. that, I don't know. I don't know. They were that innovative in their thinking other than it was just the vice that was the easiest of the time, but, and no other treatment methods, but gosh,
yeah, the treatment methods back then. Nah, not much out there.
Yeah, exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Is that our, are those our ghost story calls right there?
Those were our ghost stories.
All right, there we go. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being here and participating in the program. If you'd like to get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes and everything, go check it out. Patreon, search Real Ghost Stories Online, or on Apple Podcasts. You can get our premium content there as well. For Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.